So the Anunnaki and this intervention that happened, in your beliefs, then the Anunnaki, they come in, they gather up these people that they're trying to create as being sort of a worker race, as I heard you refer to them earlier. They're trying to elevate this culture and trying to get them to participate in a larger sense, a collective, and then the Anunnaki disappear and they leave behind the this group that then has to kind of go through this process of trying to understand itself without their living gods living amongst them anymore.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
Okay, did the Anunnaki die? Was there is there any evidence, any archaeological evidence that's ever come up of giants that once roamed the earth?
Well, let me answer that in two ways. You mentioned earlier weapons of mass destruction, possibly, and where could they have gone, and did they use these type of weapons?
Yeah, I guess there's a separate strain on that. But yeah, that was just something I was curious about, whether that you saw any thought that this was a warring people, or that they had a lot of weapons, or that there could have been something catastrophic.
Right. Well, as far as the giants, you know, that's a term again used in an English translation of the Sumerian term Anunnaki is what they used to describe their gods, and that just meant those who from heaven come to earth.
Right.
The interesting tale of while they were here is that one of those aspects is, yes, at some point the gods left, and you know, there's an actual tale here to describe from Zechariah Sitchin where the Sumerians actually disappeared to, because it was literally a sudden demise for where the Sumerian culture died off to. Many of the things that we, again, learn from them have been carried into cultures around the world. But the tale that Zechariah Sitchin explains is that it's a very interesting thing that in the Sumerian texts, they describe basically an evil wind that came across the Mediterranean Sea, like a death cloud, that caused excruciating pain to all living beings and animals, withered plants. And so Zechariah Sitchin explains in one of his books called Wars of Gods and Men. It's the third book that he wrote. And it's basically that two rivalry Anunnaki clans here on Earth, two opposing clans, used weapons of mass destruction, nuclear weapons, to destroy one of their spaceports, if you will.
Wow.
And in doing so, this caused a nuclear fallout that, you know, wiped over the land. And so there's actual evidence where Zechariah Sitchin, in looking at the Sinai Peninsula where this took place, there's an actual blackened region to this day that still exists. And when they show geologists this and ask, you know, what could cause this, they say the only thing that I can think of would be a volcanic eruption or a volcano. And they're like, well, there are no volcanoes in the Sinai Peninsula.
Right.
So this leaves the fact that there is some type of disturbance that took place that burnt the land long time ago that still there's evidence for. And we even have a Sumerian tale explaining that, very possibly, the weapons of mass destruction used on opposing Anunnaki clans could have been nuclear weapons.
Well, there's a lot here. So, help me with the chronology. Because I was with you on the idea, the Anunnaki come down, they gather up this worker class, they elevate their civilization in order to be able to have them mine the gold that they need, and then they leave. And that left this sort of disheveled group behind, going through what we would call in religious circles a disconfirmation process, where suddenly all the things that they believed were just, you know, kind of shook, and they had to kind of reformulate. So then they created these temples, and they created their statuary and stuff to be able to keep these beings alive. But then where do the rival Anunnaki come into it? Do the Anunnaki that leave the Sumerians behind, do they leave voluntarily, or they are wiped out by this rival group?
Well, let me give you another aspect of the tale that will shed some light on this. You know, the tale that we have in the English Bible of a Noah's Ark,
right,
is that basically God chose to let, you know, this flood take place, and man was wiped off the earth. You know, the Sumerian version is almost the exact same detail, but in more specific, there were two main Anunnaki leaders here on Earth. It was Enlil and Enki. And, you know, the creator of us was in favor of keeping us. And very specifically in this long tale, the Enuma Elish on 11 tablets, it describes how the planet that these beings come from, the Anunnaki, come from a planet within our own solar system that they called Nibiru, which stood for Planet of the Crossing. And it was symbolized basically as a big glowing cross in the sky. You know, again, this is 4,000 years before Christianity, and saying, oh, let's symbolize Christ as a cross, being on the cross as symbolic reference to God.
Okay.
This is being used by the Sumerians 4,000 years before that. And they very specifically denoted that, you know, these beings came from this planet. So we have several descriptions of what we call the winged disc that still represent, you know, to this day, this home planet of the Anunnaki. In Egyptian cultures, the sun god Ra, it's a winged disc. So the Sumerians have a very long tale that describe when this planet passed by, it was known to cause catastrophic events here on Earth. One of those being, a long time ago, this took place when it was going. This planet passed by Earth, the home planet of the Anunnaki called Nibiru, and we'll describe some of the technical aspects. This involves the word Planet X. But basically, they were aware that when Planet X, Nibiru, was going to pass by Earth, it was going to cause great catastrophe on Earth, mainly some of the ice sheets cracking off, great floods taking place all over the Earth. And there was a fallout between these two Anunnaki, Enlil and Enki, whether or not to actually save man. And the argument was, let them perish. They've become too numerous. They're spreading all over the Earth with diseases and everything. So they decided to have them wiped off the Earth. Now, after the flood, just like the Bible says, when the Ark rested on Mount Sinai, they sent out a bird to try and find, you know, if there's land, finally comes back with a branch. This is all recorded in the Sumerian version, mind you. I'm not telling you the Noah's Ark tale. This is the 4,000-year earlier version. Eventually, the Anunnaki, after this great flood, saw that, you know, man was gone, and came back down to analyze what had taken place, and found a small group, Sumerian man, that had built the ship by the Anunnaki's request, just like the Noah's Ark tale, saw them on this mountaintop. They, you know, some of the animals they had saved, brought with them, they were cooking, they smelt the burning meat, were hungry, and came down and saw this devastation and realized, wow, we really need man. They provide for us things that we need, not only, as we've heard in the Bible, where they took the daughters of man as their wives, which is another tale. There was a whole other partnership that took place after this great flood, where the gods, if you will, our ancient gods, looked at us in a new way and decided to say, well, we need man. This needs to be more of a partnership. And so then this question, as you've asked, where are they today, or where have they gone, did they leave, goes into some very interesting aspects of, let's just call it, ufology.